Hey everyone, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. I'm super excited to have three special guests here with us today because this is the month of December and it's a great month for celebrating. We do a lot of celebrations throughout the year, whether the holidays, but my particular favorite part of this year, and also for the Education Foundation, is that we get the opportunity, the honor truly, to celebrate amazing teachers, and that is through the Teacher of the Year program. We've got special guests here today, and those are the three finalists who were selected for District Teacher of the Year. Dun, dun, dun. They don't know yet which one is going to have the the reigning honor, but I will tell you, all three are well-deserving, and it's just been an interesting ride as the selection committee has had an opportunity to get to know them, and so we want to share with you all, our listeners, to get to know them as well. Before we get started and I do the introductions, I do want to give a special shout-out to our sponsor today, and that is Sunset Automotive Group. Sunset Automotive Group has been a long-standing supporter of education, not only with the Education Foundation, just with education in general, but they are the presenting sponsor for Teacher of the Year and have been doing so for many, many years. And so we're super grateful for Sunset Automotive Group. So now let's tee up the three guests that we have and sitting here, and hopefully you'll get to recognize their voices. And so I'm going to just say to you all, make sure you kind of say, maybe I'll tee it off, like I'll say your name and everything, but we want to make sure your voice is associated with your name and who you are. But we've got representing the Elementary Teacher of the Year is Taylor Ranch, Rebecca Zeck, and our Middle School Teacher of the Year is Maggie Higgins from Pineview, and our High School Teacher of the Year is Kelly Roselle from Venice High School. So welcome, ladies, to Education Conversations.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
We were just commenting before we got on the podcast, we're like, this is being done right after Thanksgiving and right before Teacher of the Year, and so how are y'all feeling right now?
It's overwhelming.
Well, Kelly, I'll let you expand on that a little bit as the High School Teacher of the Year, as we all kind of surprised you all. Was the surprise actually, was it really a surprise?
Yes. I had no idea that any of this would move forward after the interview because that was terrible. But when I was called out of my classroom and there's 50 people just there kind of clapping at me, it was just scary.
Oh, no. Well, I can just tell that the three of you all really stood out very well because you not only understand what great teaching is, but you exemplify that. And so maybe if I can have one of you all, Rebecca, I don't know if I could start with you, is when you think about great teaching, what does that look like to you?
Great teaching is knowing your students. Just being able to bond with them and be with them and know all the little things about them. You know, you're the important aspect of their life this year and the years coming. So when it comes to great teaching, you're thinking about the students first.
So Maggie, you kind of build on that a little bit because so often what we know is, you know, we hear a lot about highly effective teachers really focus on student achievement. And yet what we also hear is that the students are known and loved and supported. So can you kind of build on that a little bit more about expanding what Rebecca just said, helping us understand
absolutely.
That?
So I would agree. I mean, I feel like it would be really self-important of me to say that I'm a great teacher because I don't, like I do everything that I can for my students to make sure that they are, you know, not just making learning gains, but that they have a place to express themselves. Like I was a really weird kid. I was thinking this morning about how I, you know, like I pretended to be a horse on the playground with my friends until I was like 12, which the fact that I have friends now who knew me back then, I'm like, okay, girls, you're crazy. But like I get a lot of really quirky, really interesting students. And so for me, great teaching is not just, you know, my content area, which is Spanish, which is Chinese. It's more that I give my students the flexibility and the freedom to express who they are in a place where like I'll be their biggest supporter, I'll be their biggest defender. So if they say something weird, I'm like, well, you know, it is what it is. Here we go. And really just making sure that they, you know, they know that they're supported. And it's, and you can't just, you know, say, oh, you know, I really support you, Rebecca. They don't care if you say it. You have to show it. Yeah. You know, you ask about what do they do outside of school and what are their hobbies and what's going on with their family and what do they do for the holidays? And just that little stuff really shows them that we care. So then they care about what goes on in the classroom. And from there, then everything kind of falls into place. And I mean, that's not to say that you don't still have kids who want to throw shoes at each other or something like that, because having a good relationship doesn't automatically preclude any sort of behavioral or other academic issues. But that's, to me, that's the really big step forward mm-hmm. that you have to start there.
Yeah. So what I hear you say is that you really embrace their unique gifts and talents and you create a safe environment for them to be themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're a bunch of little weirdos and I love them. So.
She's such a middle school teacher.
That's like, right. You are yes. She's speaking the language of middle school. That is who she really
is. Sometimes I'll tell people the things, you know, that my students will say or that like I'll say back because they're at that age where like they're kind of, sometimes they're jerks, but it's not on purpose. Right. You know, like elementary schoolers, they don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And high schoolers, I feel like they've got more wherewithal that if they say something, they know what they're doing with it. But my middle schoolers will just say stuff and people are like, dang, girl. I couldn't survive. And I'm like, I don't know.
In middle
it's
school,
the Wild West, but it's so fun.
Yeah. You know? Middle school students are a little unfiltered and in their developmental progression. So Kelly, let me turn it over to you. Can you share with me, like, how did you become inspired to be a teacher? Did you set out to be a teacher? Did the path find you? Like, how did it connect for you?
I had no intention of being a teacher.
That's so real.
That's a unanimous thing. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. All of us?
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Well, Kelly, share more.
Well, my mom was a teacher and I knew how hard it is. So that was not a direction I wanted to go in at all. But I played soccer my first 2 years of college in Louisiana and a bunch of my teammates were from Canada and we all had to take U.S. history together and they were struggling. So I started tutoring all of them and I was like, oh, I kind of like this. And then I started tutoring the baseball team and then I started tutoring the golf team and it just kind of grew. And then I transferred to the University of Florida and studied history and fell in love with it.
Isn't that amazing? And yet your mom was a teacher and Rebecca, you said your mom was a teacher. So Rebecca, were you inspired by your mom or were you like, I'm going to go in a different field because I see what you're doing? Share a little bit more about that.
Kind of a mix. So my mom was definitely like my role model, but she was so good at it. I was like, I'm never going to be as good as her. So I'm just going to go do something else. I'm going to just go shine in a different way. And then I went to the University of Florida for the Family, Youth, Community Science because I just knew I wanted to be with kids or family. So I started really digging into like nature versus nurture and all that. And I got done and I went, what am I doing? And I started subbing and I ended up feeling like, this is why my mom does this. It's so powerful. Like I watched her change so many kids' lives and it feels so good. Like even as a substitute, it felt so good. And I started teaching and I was like, got my master's in elementary education and was like, let's do this. We're going to do this.
It's so amazing. And yet the reality is we do see a lot of folks not going into teaching. We see a lot of the colleges dropping their education programs and we still see a lot of turnover in teachers. So Maggie, how about you? Like, why are you sticking with it? And why does it really matter that you guys are showing up and giving your best?
You know, I don't think I have a great answer for that. I just, you know, part of it is that I loved school growing up and it's I've done school things my whole life. Like obviously I went to school as a student and then like Kelly said, I started tutoring in high school and in college and then I was a teaching assistant and I was like, oh, I kind of like this. And then I started working at the Sports Academy, IMG, and I had like a small group tutoring where it was kind of, I had my own classroom, but it was optional, like we took attendance, but there weren't any grades, but I still was like, I really like working with the students. And so that to me is why I stick around is for the kids and I like the school atmosphere. And, you know, I do all of this other stuff on top of teaching because I feel like every teacher does, you know, you don't just show up, teach and then go home. Like, you know, aside from meetings and stuff, we have the school fair that we host booths for and we have dances that we host. And to see my kids come together and interact with each other, like, that to me is what keeps me sticking around. And this group that I have this year, actually, I had for second grade and then fourth grade, and now I have them for seventh grade. So like, I was like, I have to have them for middle school. I had them for elementary. I have to see them again. And the kids I'll have next year, I had for fourth grade also. So I'm like, you know, to me, it's the kids that keeps me kind of coming back. Some of this Mm-hmm. Like, it's tough. I mean, the workload has increased and, you know, the demands on teachers are huge. But at the end of the day, I show up for my students and that's pretty... sounds really noble. It's really not.
It's actually been very consistent, though. We hear that often. I just and that really can't be minimized. And I just from our vantage point with the Education Foundation, teachers are humble individuals, very humble individuals, and yet they don't fully recognize that showing up every day and still giving your best for your kids is really the difference maker, the magic maker. And so our community, I just want y'all to know our community recognizes that. And we really do appreciate you guys a lot. Kelly, when you think back about teaching and, you know, specifically, you know, being the teacher, having been recognized as the teacher of the year for high school, what characteristics do you bring to your teaching? What do you think actually made you different, stood out from the rest?
I guess just what everyone's been saying, it's my relationship with my kids. It's all about them, and I'm trying to find ways to make history fun for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what kind of helped me stand out, because I took over two new classes last year, and it was a struggle, and I worked my butt off. But at the end of the day, it was all for them, and most of my kids passed and have college credit, and I'm just so excited for them.
Share a little bit, because we've heard about some of the amazing things to do. So as you speak about, you know, I just did a couple classes, there's a little bit more under that tent. So can you share exactly what, you know, give us an example of something you did to really bring learning to life?
I try to make it relevant and so interactive and fun. Just before break, we were learning about antebellum reformers. And so I decided to group them up, and each group had a different reformer, and we did speed dating. So they had to make dating profiles for them. So that way they could at least remember who they are, and that it's kind of fun and kind of catchy way to, now you know 12 reformers and let's kind of move on to the next thing. Because the hurricane kind of pushed us back a little bit. So unfortunately, the test date has not changed. But
yeah, the show must go on. I mean, this is what we've been, certainly haven't been experiencing in education, particularly since, golly, even when COVID hit. It was almost like we don't want to talk about it because it's so exhaustive to ad nauseum. But at the same time, there's been consistent elements of distraction every year, whether hurricanes, COVID, and, you know, anything like that happening. So kudos again to you all. So Rebecca, when you look at the position, the designation, if you will, of being Teacher of the Year, what does that mean to you professionally? And maybe what does it mean to you personally?
Being honored by your school was honestly, that was enough for me. You know, it was just all the hard work I've been putting in for the last 10 years was recognized through an award. You know, I've always been given compliments and you're an awesome teacher and I can feel it in my students and my students' parents. You know, that's always been there. But for like your school to come together and nominate you as the Teacher of the Year of that school, that was the moment I'll remember the rest of my life. It was in front of my students. Like, they knew how important it would be for my students to be there to witness that with me. At a personal level, I was pregnant last year with my second little girl, and I went through a lot last year pregnant, between losing my grandma, who was my best friend, to finding out I'm pregnant the third day of school, to having a student from out of state who nobody knew all the trauma that came with him. And I was pregnant, and I did not want to give up on him. And so last year, my school saw me, you know, put my heart into the student who made such an impact to me as an educator, and for them to come together and just watch me do that and recognize the hard work I'd put into not only that one student, but all my students. That was only my second year at Taylor Ranch. And they were like, wow, like the passion you have for not only that one student, but your entire students, like that's amazing. And I didn't do it for anything. It was just because I wanted to. That student needed me. He needed me to, you know, show him trust. He needed to build the trust. He needed to feel the love. He needed to know that nothing is wrong with him. You know, I will rub your back. You can sit at my feet, whatever you need, if that's how you need to learn. And for my school to come together and recognize that personally, it was like, it was humbling because we don't know We don't know that that's different. We don't know that that's special. It's just who we are. Mm-hmm. We take on two more classes to teach history. We take the weirdos and we love them, you know? But that's just because the three of us, that's in our heart. That's just who we are. And to be given the opportunity to not only be recognized at school, but district level as well, it's like, whoa, what makes me that different? Because I'm just being me. I'm just being me. I'm just loving these kids with everything I have while still loving my two babies at home too. So, you know, bringing on that mom versus teacher, I'm a mom in my classroom. I'm not going to lie. Like, those are my babies. And I've always said, I'm your mom at school if you need me, because children trust their mom. Mm-hmm. They talk to their mom. They're themselves around their mom. And so when I'm at school, I'm their mom. And when I'm at home, I'm my baby's mom. So just having that relationship.
Thank you for sharing that. It's a wonderful, wonderfully well-stated response. So Maggie, when you think back about when you were a student, because you said you loved school, did you have a teacher that really stood out to you that made an impression upon you?
Anyone that's been to school through high school has had so many teachers, right? But the teachers that really stand out to me that were, you know, guiding forces and shaped how I think about approaching my classes and my students, I'm like, why do I do what I do? There's two that I can think of off the top of my head. My teacher that I work with right now, actually, her name is Kitty Wong. She was my Chinese teacher in middle and high school. And then she's the one who called me at the beginning of 2018 and was like, what are you doing in the fall? Do you want to come teach middle school? And she really, you know, helped me figure out what's the best way to set up a classroom, what's a good way to get the students talking to each other in the target language, how do you inspire? You know, she always made my classes in middle school and in high school so engaging and like, oh, I want to know more. I want to ask more questions. I want to do the best that I can. So she was really one of those teachers for me. And then I also had Dr. Rice, who I just cannot express how much I love this woman. She was this force of nature. I had her for U.S. history as a junior and then macroeconomics in, like, she never spoke louder than kind of a soft whisper. She made history, which I've never been good at. She turned it into like storytelling. Well, here's what happened next. And here's how this affected what was going on in other parts of the United States. And really, you might be thinking that this event was happening from on a completely separate timeline from this event, but they were happening concurrently, which for me, as somebody who thinks about everything that's happened in history as completely separate events, and I have to really think about, you know, how things are related and stuff, that was hugely eye-opening. And I just remember looking forward. It was at 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what high schooler looks forward to a 7 o'clock class, but I looked forward to her class every day. I was like, what is she going to tell me next? Oh, my math teacher. She was the most amazing math teacher I've ever had. Her name was Ms. DeVoe. And she would be so patient. And I know I ask the stupidest questions. I'm going to tell you right now that there are such thing as stupid questions, and it's me who's asking them. And she would just always be so patient. And so I think about that with my students when even if they ask something that I'm like, no, that's silly. I'm like, maybe it's not silly. Maybe we just need to approach it the way Ms. DeVoe would, with her unending patience. She was so wonderful. So those were my big three.
That's actually terrific. And all the different attributes that they each brought to you helped to develop your love of learning. So that's really kudos to them. So Kelly, as we kind of round everything out, I want to go back to how you had said you didn't want to be a teacher and you really tried not to do that. What advice would you give now to those actually thinking about being a teacher? What would you say to them?
I say do it. My opinion on education has obviously changed drastically. It is the most fulfilling profession I think there is, because you just got to, one, stick it out. The first few years are challenging and difficult because it's one thing to go to school and then it's another thing to be thrown into a classroom with 30 kids. So it's just about maintaining relationships, building them up. And if you work hard, the kids are going to work hard for you. And it's so rewarding. I love seeing my kids become little adults and then move on to the next level. And the best part about social media, or the only good thing about social media, is I can see what they're doing now too. And so I'm able to keep in contact with a lot of them. And I don't know, just I love it.
That's great. Well, three of y'all, again, congratulations to each one of you for your designation as Elementary, Middle, and High School Teacher of the Year. You really have earned those stripes. So thank you for the dedication that you give to all of the kids in our community. You really are investing in that next generation, and we just hold teachers up so high. And it's been a pleasure having conversations with you all today. And for those of you who'd like to explore ways that you can help support our teachers or to learn more about the Education Foundation, you can visit us at our website at edfoundationsrq.org. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope you will tune in to a special Good Cheer holiday podcast on December 24th. But for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.